Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and this is our first real episode of 2021. Thank you all for bearing with me while I got a couple of episodes recorded and things switched around a little bit on this end. I'll keep doing my best to bring you interesting guests and not to go dark by surprise. I still don't have a lot of backup episodes in the can, but I'm putting my nose to the grindstone and trying to get a few more wrapped up as I book more guests. I don't have any theme for this month other than a fresh start for the new year, but I hope that it's starting off better than 2020 ended for most of us. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests, please email me from our website or contact me on Twitter at Awaken Exchanges. I hope to have a full, diverse, and interesting schedule for all of 2021, so I hope you join us here for the exchange. As this is the space where I normally talk for a few minutes about current events, I wanted to at least give a little attention to what happened at the Capitol building this last week. Wednesday, January 6th was the day that Congress was set to certify the Electoral College results. Personally, I thought that was going to be plenty of drama for the day, as there were still Republicans trying to push the stop the steal rhetoric and planning on opposing the results despite months of court cases showing zero evidence, even in red states. Sadly, the QAnon faction is truly sucked into these conspiratorial beliefs that are threatening to lead us into a very different kind of civil war. Despite police insistence that they'd heard nothing related to storming the Capitol, social media posts as well as messages on pro-Trump message boards, such as 4chan, contain explicit planning for just such a breach. On December 23rd, Trump tweeted, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild." This is far from the first time that Trump has incited protests, and frankly violence, during his presidency. Telling the Proud Boys to stand by during the elections played right into this narrative as well. It's like Trump was saying, "Are you waiting to do something? Here's your chance." I've seen the divisions in our country grow exponentially over the last couple of decades. The fringes on both the right and left not taking into account the middle and what's best for all of us. All the while, no matter which side is in power, both sides trying to make changes to appease their fringe groups and therefore making the divide grow even wider. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being looked at as an enemy to the right just because I think that all people should be cared about. I'm not trying to turn this into a communist country. I definitely don't want gulags in America. We're already incarcerating too many people as it is. I don't know that there is a single way to get through to people that would work for everybody. That said, is it just too much to ask that people think things through? Is it too hard to do unto others as you would truly have them do unto you? Maybe if we are all present in the moment, we could get through this with our civility intact. I truly hope that it's not too late for that. That's probably enough politics to start the show this week, but I want to thank this week's guest, Crystal White. I've only known Crystal for just a few months now, but her bravery and openness should be a beacon of light for others. Crystal is working on a book about her transition from Dave to Crystal, encompassing battles with addiction and mental health before finding a healthier path through life. We talk a bit about plant medicines and the role that cannabis played in eliminating her skin cancer, and I suspect that Crystal will have to join us again for some more in-depth discussions on different types of mushrooms and their medicinal properties as well. I hope that you find this conversation as enlightening as I did, and that you keep coming back for these exchanges. Before we get to the interview, though, here's a brief rundown of our sponsors. As always, I want to thank all of you personally for your support. Just listening and sharing this podcast with your friends gives me a reason to keep providing the best content that I can. If you have the means and would like to contribute personally, please take a look at our Patreon page, where you'll get access to exclusive content and deals. There are already bonus videos available as I record this, and more are on the way. As for our other sponsors, Awaken Vapes was the first of the Awaken brands and has been helping you modulate your high with CBD-only, high-terpene vape products since 2019. Genesis Farms has been making the highest quality medicinal RSO, among many other fantastic products, starting with the medical community back before 2010. And last but not least, the Caramel Corn Company, bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube, or follow us wherever else you're listening. And please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I know that every podcast says that, but it's because it really does help spread the word. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. All right, now, stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Awakened Exchanges. Genesis Farms was founded on the belief in cannabis's ability to heal. Genesis Farms is more than a brand. They're a compassionate community of like-minded folks that generate top-quality cannabis products made with love and care. Community outreach is always on their mind, and their partnerships with Grow for Vets and Parents for Pot was just the beginning of what they hope to accomplish in the coming years. You can find their products on the best dispensary shelves across the state of Oregon. Their RSO is the most consistent quality in the state. Their tinctures are second to none, and their personal massage oil will have you and your partner coming back for more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram, and ask for them in your local dispensary today. Don't forget to listen to Sean's interview right here on Awakened Exchanges. It's episode number 3. The Carmel Corn Company is bringing you Carmel Corn the way it was meant to be. Made with premium ingredients in small, handcrafted batches, and completely gluten-free. Their flavors include original, roasted cashew, salted almond, mixed nut, spicy sriracha, white morsel macadamia, peanut butter, butterscotch, and my personal favorites, chocolate drizzle and raspberry caramel apple. I can't say enough about how delicious this caramel corn is. It makes a great gift any time of the year. You can find them for sale in Portland area market of choice locations, and hopefully again online soon when they get stocked back up. Please visit www.carmelcorncompany.com for more information today. And remember, buying local supports small businesses and keeps your money building your community. Last but not least, Awakened Vapes has been bringing you some of the highest quality CBD vapes since ringing in the new year of 2019. I became passionate about cannabis after a car wreck left me with major migraines, and no prescribed pills helped alleviate the symptoms. Having only tried cannabis a handful of times in high school and college, it was a doctor's recommendation that led me to give it another try. Only then did I realize that we'd all been at least a little misled about the health benefits of this amazing plant. Despite an unexpected break because of the vape ban, and then a global health crisis with COVID, the business is stronger than ever, and we invite you to check out our updated website today. We are still offering our 3 varieties with new and improved terpene formulations for enhanced flavor to go along with the custom blended effect profiles. Check back at www.awakenedvapes.com for any updates, and you can always email us about wholesaling or white labeling opportunities. Welcome to Awakened Exchanges. We're very grateful to have you on the exchange today. For those in our audience who are unfamiliar with you, why don't you tell us your name and a little bit about what you do?
Hi, my name is Crystal Pollock-White. I'm a holistic life creator coach. I empower you to create harmony, peace, joy, love, and compassion in your conscious life expression. I am the conscious creator at Seven Valleys Sanctuary. We're developing a healing center with alternative and holistic empowerment and medicine. We're also developing a community-supported agriculture and a community garden so that we can provide our community with organic herbs, mushrooms, vegetables, starts, and workshops for growing your own food and medicine, incorporating all the aspects you need to create nutrient-dense food and medicine in a regenerative way. And I'm writing a book. That's who I am.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a very productive schedule. Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah. I've been working on this for years, and it's just really now starting to take a life of its own. I've been through so much in my life, and it's led to this amazing awakening experience and to a self-realization that we only get through diligent practice or experience, be it traumatic or however it comes to you, but it's all a gift in our awakening experience. Once we don't attach to these experiences and make them become part of our identity, we can use these experiences as paths to service for others. As we transcend our traumatic experiences, we have that gift to give to others to help them transcend it and find that self-realization that is so key to the interbeing and ending this story of separation that we have created as a society, and come into the new realization of interbeing, of interconnectedness, that is the reality, you know? And the story starts as, you know, I'm a transgender female. I was born in Eastern Washington in the 60s. Back then, they had no clue about alternate lifestyles or anything. And I was told, you're a boy. You have to be a boy. And, so I believed the people, I loved them, you know. And so I tried to be a boy all my life. It just didn't work. And as I started to go through life, you know, I was also adopted, which created this abandonment story in my life and this total rejection of love and affection from anybody. I figured if my own parents didn't love me enough to even keep me, then nobody else should or could or would, you know? And so this created all kinds of traumatic experiences throughout my life. But each of these experiences, and each time that I created a persona, not being myself, not having the courage to be myself, I created a persona to be accepted and loved by the people that I admired and wanted to be around, you know? And so in retrospect, I can go back and see at the purpose of all these experiences of being this person, this aspect of engaging with this aspect, and how they all added up to the conscious expression of divine energy that I am now. And our path, you know, I heard this, this wonderful yoga teacher that I have been involved with for years, Sean Korn. She's amazing. She just wrote a book too. It's like she says that your trauma is your path to service. You either have a choice. You can take that trauma and attach to it, attach emotions, thoughts, feelings, actions, expressions, and make it part of your identity, or you can transcend that and use that as a path to service back to unite humanity in love and compassion.
That's a very good way to look at things. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, that's it's just all these experiences throughout my life, they were my soul looking for a way to express itself, but I didn't have the courage to actually be myself, and it took all of these traumatic experiences to actually wake me up and to have those peak experiences, if you will, that do lead to realization, that do lead to the awakening journey, that do lead to the realization is that we are all one. We're all part of this amazing field of energy, you know?
Absolutely. That's why I think the do unto others is so important.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if more people practiced that and practiced the love that all the masters of our history have brought to this earth and demonstrated, instead of placing them on a pedestal and expecting some external source to save us, why not empower ourselves and realize that we are all conscious expressions of that divine energy? And through diligent practice and compassionate presence and awakened living, we demonstrate that, we embody that, and it becomes our life expression. And through the mirror neurons, other people pick up on that, and it changes the vibration, the frequency of the collective. You know, one of the biggest forms of service anybody can do right now is self-realization, to do self-care, to realize who you truly are. Because once you make that self-realization, then you know that you are connected to everything and there is no separation. It's a story that humanity has created in our path of evolution, you know? The story of other, to coin a term from I can't think of his name right now. The story of other, you know, and the story of separation, creates competition, and it creates adversity. It creates not enough. It creates me against you, better than. All these things are just stories, and they're not real.
Societal creations.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's time that we create a new story, you know, one of community, one of inner being, acknowledging the interconnectedness of all things that we perceive as real, you know, this scientific materialist paradigm that we're living in. It's time for it to go away, because science is showing us that consciousness is primary. You know, we are a conscious expression of energy, and matter is made of energy.
Absolutely.
And it's funny, I'm reading this book right now about energy healing, and you know, it's all done with scientific background and research scientists, and you know, science is now, quantum physics shows that we are all interconnected. And with all the new science, epigenetics, you're no longer a victim of your genes. You know, we have control of that. We have to empower ourselves by realizing that we are that divine conscious expression of life. And everything that is also that expression of life. So there's only inspiration to create better for everyone.
Absolutely. Like you were saying, with epigenetics, we can actually unlock parts of our genes that we thought were, you know, lost to us. We can actually make those changes and pass those changes along. We can, you know, really bring that change into the world.
Absolutely, you know, and I believe that that's part of the reason that those that are on this awakening path, this journey of awakening to reality, to self, are aware of this and are embodying this. You know, I actually came upon the concept probably 6 years ago from a metaphysical channeler that I listened to. And he was talking about talk to yourself, talk to your body. It listens. And, you know, I started doing it because it makes sense. You know, your muscles have memory. And I've experienced this. You know, I was injured, seriously injured and disabled in 2013, dealing with fibromyalgia, myofascial pain syndrome, serious accidents. You know, I broke my neck and most of my back. I shouldn't even be here, you know, but I am, and I'm thriving because of these alternative modes of healing, of yoga, of meditation, of pranayama, of epigenetic control, of consciousness. You know, consciousness is the key. You know, it's like people that don't understand haven't had a peak experience yet. You know, it's those peak experiences that show us the reality of who we are. Once you have experienced yourself as unity, as out of body, as something other than your physical body self, then it starts to open up these doors to a new reality. And we understand, you know, I love Deepak Chopra. I just did a class of his, The Nature of Reality, you know, and I just learned about the quantum vacuum, and to think that everything that we experience is being generated from the quantum vacuum, you know, and everything that is in our purview, everything that we perceive as real, it matters not real. It's an experience, you know, it's touch, it's feel, it's taste, it's smell. It's not real. It appears real because of consciousness and physics.
It's our observations that are making it real to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
So I want to get into more of your, when you had the peak experiences and things like that. But before, you said that you felt pressure to always be a boy when you were growing up. When did you first feel like you were different?
Oh God, you know, I think it was probably my earliest experiences with different feelings were 5, 6 years old, you know. I always wanted to play with the girls. You know, I was definitely a tomboy, if you will, because I like dirt and I like sports and I like all kinds of stuff. I was a mechanic for most of my life, you know. But as a child, I was always looking for that feminine aspect, you know. I remember I have sisters. They used to put makeup on me, and I used to steal their clothes while they were away at school, and I used to steal my mom's clothes. And I had a friend that, you know, that I used to play with, and she and I would trade clothes and trade places and do pretend stuff, you know. But once that was found out and caught, it was like, no, you're a boy. This is what you must, you know, this is how you live, you know, and this is what you're supposed to do. And I was a very young, sensitive, impressionable person, you know. And I believed them. These were my parents. These were my family, you know. And so I tried to be that, you know. And that's one of my character defects, if you will, is people pleasing and avoiding conflict. It's easier for me to take care of somebody than to deal with the emotional outbursts and the pain that I feel from other people's actions, you know.
I think that people-pleasing aspect is fairly common in a lot of us.
Right, especially in sensitives, you know?
Absolutely.
There's so many people that are awakening to empathic abilities, to sensitivities that they weren't aware that they even possessed, you know? And it's a gift because it will bring more compassion to our world.
Yeah.
But those sensitivities have always been super prevalent in my experience, you know? And I don't know, I had throughout my childhood, I had both male and female partners. And I grew up and I tried to be a man. And then I think in the 90s is when I really started trying to come out, you know? And I was living a double life because I had some really crazy friends. I used to ride motorcycles. I used to run around with clubs, you know? I had people that I thought would hurt me if they knew who I was. So I lived this crazy double life, always afraid to be myself. And in so doing, you know, here comes addiction. You know, I suffered with addiction for, oh God, half of my life, you know, because of that sensitivities and those feelings that I didn't want to admit. I didn't want to let my true soul shine through. I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want to be other. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be hated. Because back then, if you were different, they beat you up. They killed you, you know?
Yeah.
I can remember stories of people getting beat up with baseball bats and stuff because they were gay, you know? It's the societal programming and the societal beliefs that are based in this other, and we must be the same, you know, this whole idea that everybody needs to be the same and to do these things and to act a certain way and perform a certain way is just ridiculous. You know, we're all individual, unique expressions of life, and it's our responsibility to be that unique expression of life, to manifest that unique consciousness that only we can, and share it with the world, and not try and conform to somebody else's idea of what's right, you know? It wasn't really until, and I came out in 2012. That's when I was at the point of suicide. I said, I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to be me.
I'm glad you chose going with being you.
Thank you. You know, and it wasn't, oddly enough, 2012, Procession of the Equinoxes, that I made that change. And when I did, I said, everything that I have known, everything that I've learned, everything that I have become to this point, out the door, good, bad, whatever. From this point on, I experience life as it is, as me, and I find who I am. I don't accept somebody else's definition of me. I don't conform to anybody else's vision of who I should be. I don't follow anybody else's beliefs. I am the only one that can determine my truth. And I believe that is true for everybody. You know, there's what, 7.5 billion of us on this planet?
Yeah.
And there's 7.5 billion different truths, and they're all right. They're all right for that person and that time and that place in their conscious expression and evolution in life. You know? Do we want everybody to be wrong, to be violent, to create separation, to cause suffering? No, we don't. But without that experience, we wouldn't know we wanted something different. You know,
it's like what they say is you can't have that happiness without the sadness. You can't have the ups without the downs, because without something to compare it to, there is no real feeling of that big up.
Exactly. You know, I like to say that You know, everybody thinks that they know everything. Well, I'm not saying everybody, but most people think they know what's going on. They have their truth cemented and stuff. Well, you know, in the first place, when I was in that spot, I didn't go anywhere. I stagnated. I got sick because I was thought that I knew the truth, and I was projecting that truth onto everything, all my experiences and the other people, instead of being present with what is and not creating what is through my thoughts, beliefs, and experiences, you know, in reality, not going to that default mode network, but living presence and acting out of that presence, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually curious if being adopted actually made you feel like you had that need to conform even more.
You know, it didn't. It made me a rebel.
Really?
It absolutely did. I am the consummate rebel. I have, tell me I can't do something, I'll show you 15 ways I can. you know, tell me it's impossible, I'll show you it's not. You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm not a Christian. I was raised in a fundamentalist Lutheran family. I went to confirmation. I went to a Christian school. I'm well versed in it. And I have some very lovely teachings of Jesus that I like, but one of my favorites is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know, and I take Christ as a Christ consciousness, you know. And you look at many of the teachings of that master, you know, look, he took Peter on the water and says, look, you can do this, have the faith of a mustard seed. You can walk on the water too. And did he not do it? You know, all these masters came to show us who we are. They came to show us our truth, you know? But there again, that's experiential. You don't get that from a book. You have to live that truth, you know, and experience it. Otherwise, all you have is conceptual knowledge. You go to school, you get a degree, you still have conceptual knowledge until you put it into practice, right?
Absolutely. And it's like religions put themselves in between the masses and God to keep them from realizing that it's actually within themselves.
Absolutely. You know, the center of every particle in existence is identical, you know, the center of every particle is identical, you know? And we're all connected through this field of love, you know? It's empowering once it becomes reality. And it's also a way for us to create a life expression that inspires others, that shows others that they don't have to live in this world of competition of other, of not enough for me, you know, of suffering, you know. It's time for us to come together and build our communities, you know. That's why I've started creating this healing center and building a community supported agriculture and stuff that will serve our community, direct action, conscious direct action, is what's going to change this world. You know, us being that awakened presence in life, living our truth, shows others an actual reflection of themselves and what they can be, you know? And to introduce these concepts to people in a way that enriches their lives and empowers them, you know, especially with alternative medicine, you know, and alternative healing modalities. We can all see where our current medical system has taken us. You know, it's not doing anybody good except for Big Pharma. They're the only ones that's benefiting out of this.
They are sure making a lot of money, though.
Right, and look at the people in our country. Our country's sick, you know.
Hospitals are overrun right now just from COVID, but before that, nobody had access to health care either. Yeah, unless you were rich, there wasn't really anything out there for you in our country.
Yes, you know, and, you know, that's totally opposite of what healthcare is supposed to be, you know. That is financial care, you know. That is creating separation, you know. We need to show others, and, you know, I'm developing this, what I've experienced in my life and what helps me heal. You know, I just got the approval from my doctor to go back to work.
Wow.
And, you know, I've been battling for years, you know, and at the beginning, I was on opiates, I was on muscle relaxers, I was on all kinds of, you know, Western medicine. What did it do? It made me sick. It kept me in bed. And then I found cannabis, you know.
It was a big change for my life as well.
Oh, God, you know, and I was blessed enough to be part of the cannabis industry in Washington for several years until they destroyed it. You know, I ran two dispensaries, collective gardens. I even cured skin cancer on my own body, you know, with cannabis. I've seen the effects of cannabis when used properly as medicine on so many different people. You know, I used to deal with thousands of people, you know, on a daily basis. And I went from being in bed sometimes 3 or 4 days a week with pain and fibromyalgia and all that to now I'm feeling better than I have since I was a kid, you know. You look at our doctors and stuff. When you go in to see your primary care physician, what do they ask you? They ask you where you hurt, why do you hurt? Okay, what kind of pill would you like? You know, and that pill is the first problem. You know, part of my process that I've gone through that has enabled me to come back from being injured and disabled is what I want to share with the world, you know, and it's this holistic treatment that integrates nutrition, yoga, consciousness, body communication, connecting to your innate self. Because once you make these connections, your body is a self-healing mechanism, and it will guide you to wellness. It's amazing, and like here's those peak experiences that I was talking about. You know, I've had several, but some of the most amazing experiences that I've had have been during pranayama, breath work. You know, they are equivalent to doing LSD or mushrooms. It's like they take you to that place of unity, to integration, you know. That's what yoga is, unity. It's science, it's consciousness, it's physics, it's so much. And, you know, my first understanding of yoga was just like most Westerners, an exercise, a way to stay fit, a way to make your body look good and feel good. Right.
Yeah.
And then I discovered there's much more to it. The philosophy, the science, and the consciousness. And the practice, as it develops, enriches your life and your awareness and brings that self-realization that connects us so that we do not create the story of separation anymore, so that we show up in the world as a compassionate, loving entity in service to ease the suffering of all beings. You know?
Absolutely. I actually came to yoga the opposite way that you did. I actually came to it from the meditation side and into that breath work. I didn't think about it as exercise much because of my history with weightlifting and other things. It just kind of had that, can't think of a better term for it, foo-foo kind of feel to it back when I was, you know, in my teens and 20s. And then when I realized how much benefit there was to it in that moving meditation that you could experience, and how much closer I felt to my body afterwards, it was an amazing change.
Oh God, yes. You know, so many people live in their head. They're not even aware of their body. There exists the body temple, to borrow a term of Michael Beckwith, you know, from Agape International, amazing teacher. The body temple, you know, it's so living embodied practice changes everything. You know, when you're present in your body, then you hear the signals that your innate self is giving you to lead you towards bliss, towards joy, towards wellness, towards peaceful living, you know?
So how and when did you start making this change in your life? You said around 2012 was when you decided to start living as yourself. How did that all come about?
It's kind of crazy, you know? I was working as a mechanic, as Dave, in fact, and I one morning my boss picked me up and was taking me to work, and I just asked her, I said, "Hey, what do you think about this? You know, can I transition at work? You know, is it an issue? You know, this is who I am and this is who I have to be. And, you know, is it cool?" And, you know, she was one of the first angels in my life, if you will. I consider my angels all to have skin and hair. I don't believe in those angels with wings, you know.
I feel you.
You know, and I've had several that have appeared in my life as I've committed to this journey of awakening, of self-realization. And she let me transition there at the shop, you know. And it's funny because, you know, my customers would come in and they'd look at me. They're like, "Where's Dave?" Yeah, well, you know, hi.
People you've known for years and just realizing.
Oh, you know, I've had people that have known me all my life walk right past me on the street, not even recognize me.
That's crazy. I actually described my weight loss that way. I used to be 350 pounds at one point, and so I had moved to LA, lost all of my, like, 150 pounds in the process, just running and kind of being better about myself. I come back and I see my friend's daughter working at a fast food place at the mall. I go up to say hi and she just gives me the weirdest look, like, "Who are you?" And eventually just does ask, "Who are you?" And had to go through not just my name, but that I was her dad's friend that she's known for a decade. It was crazy.
Oh my. Yes. Well, congratulations on your weight loss. It's wonderful. Oh,
thank you. But so it was probably a pretty weird experience for you, I'm guessing, as well.
Oh, God, yes. You know, and yeah, it's been crazy. you know, I remember when I first started stepping out. I was married when I first came out. I was married.
Wow.
She has three kids, you know, wonderful children. And she came home one day and I was sitting there on the bed just crying. And she's like, "What's the matter? You want to dress like a girl, don't you?" I'm like, "No." And I think that was around like 94, you know? So I started back then like living this double life. And, you know, my closest friends, some of them knew, and then it all came out when I got in trouble and went to jail.
What happened there?
Yeah. That was part of my path through addiction, you know. I struggled with addiction for many years because of my sensitivities, and, you know, the only way that I could function in society was to numb my feelings so that I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And through those, you know, you get possession charges and all that. And I had a warrant out for me, and they were looking for me. And somebody told on me, and they come and raided the house and found me. And I was dressed like a girl. It's funny because the bounty hunters and everything came through the house, and they walked right by me. And somebody in the house told them, because they came by a second time and told me to roll up my sleeves. Well, you see my sleeves, I'm tattooed all over, you know. there's a giveaway, you know. But, you know, it was like that was the beginning of my discovering who I was, you know. At that time, I still believed that I was my body. I still believed that I wasn't sure what I was, but I knew that I wasn't Dave, you know, if you will.
Didn't feel like a Dave.
No, I didn't, you know. And in fact, those male aspects in me turned to aggression, arrogance. It's not pretty, you know? And I think because I'm such an extreme person, I was going to those extremes trying to keep my feminine part safe. You know, if you're scared of me, you're not going to hurt me.
Trying to protect yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I use that throughout quite a bit of my life, you know, and going back to like 2012 and all that, you know, when I first made that choice, I still believed that I was this body, you know, and the most important thing in my life was to have my confirmation surgery to match, to be what society considers a woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
how old were you at that point?
Oh, let's see. I was 2012, that was 8 years ago, so I would have been 48, something like that. I'm 54 now.
So definitely not a decision you made early or rashly.
No. You know, this is something that took a lifetime for me to accept, mainly, and then to realize and to actually become, you know. And, you know, the whole... My life, you look at my life up to that point, and it was freaking chaos. I went to prison five times. Freaking times, you know? I have more time behind bars than most people, and for stupid stuff, and because they didn't help people back then, especially addicts. They just blocked them up.
Absolutely. You know? And that there is still no help for addiction in our country, and that's something that we need to address
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because, like, I actually drank my way off of drugs, and then I used cannabis to get myself off the alcohol.
I know the cannabis part of it, but yeah, it's sad that you had to go to the alcohol.
It is, but, you know, it was the tool that I had that was acceptable at that time, because you know, I was on parole.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that I couldn't do. So it was my only way to escape those feelings that were overpowering me. Those feelings coming from my spirit and my soul crying out, let me be free. You know, let me shine. Stop burying me under this insanity.
I know that when I got out, I actually went, and one of the first things I did was get my medical card, because I knew that Washington didn't stop you if you had your medical card. And it kept me from needing any of those other pills or, for in my case, like depression or anxiety medication, things like that.
Absolutely. You know, I have diagnoses of chronic depression, anxiety, PTSD. You know, I've been through some shit. And I use cannabis for all those purposes as well, you know. Uh-huh. But there again, luckily enough, I have all those years of experience and training to be able to use it as an aid to wellness and not as a distraction or as a tool of denial, you know. I use it to enhance my life and to come back to center.
Yeah.
And that's part of like what I believe needs to be brought forth. You know, look at Washington screwed up. They totally destroyed medical. You guys down in Oregon,
Oregon's
you guys are going through it too.
Oh yeah. It's medical community has been ignored for the last 5 years and it's not getting any better. We're starting to learn about terpenes, but that's a long battle as it is.
Right. You know, and the thing is we had it set up here in Washington. If they would have just looked at our system and taken that and enhanced it instead of throwing it out with the bathwater, you know. there's so many ways that cannabis can be used to enhance our lives and bring wellness, and it doesn't have to be this demon that it's been created as, you know.
It's just the myth of the last century. I mean, before then, it's just amazing the difference a century can make. Let's just go there.
Oh, right. Yeah. The 1937 Marijuana Tax Act, insane, you know. And without knowing, that's a problem with especially our media now. You know, our media is so controlled, and they are owned by pharma, if you will.
Yeah.
And they are in the business of making money, there's no Walter Cronkite anymore, you know?
No one that everybody universally trusts.
Exactly. And there's no truth unless you're involved.
No trusted source. No.
Yeah. You know, unless you're involved in something every step of the way, you have no truth. You have an idea what you think is true. You know,
it's been what has been fed to you in your feeds, since it's all personalized news at this point with Facebook and, you know, you choosing which news channel, which is already slanted towards whichever angle you're going at.
Yeah. You know, and we call that confirmation bias.
Yep.
You know, if you're only looking at stuff that reinforces your beliefs and your paradigm, then that's confirmation bias and cognitive dissonance.
100%.
We have to, part of ending the story of separation, of creating inner being in this world, is coming together and looking at the other side and listening to them and their point from their point of view. Not what we think their point of view is, but actually getting their perception from their perception and giving them ours and coming together and finding a solution that serves all of us, not just one or the other, you know.
Just because you want to help people doesn't mean that you don't want to help all people. It doesn't have to be your side or the other. Exactly.
Correct, you know, and that's part of what's caused so much chaos in our world is people thinking they know what's best. Look at these religious zealots that go out to these third world countries and tell these indigenous people that they have the truth, and if they don't believe them, they're going to be tortured in hell for the rest of their lives. You know, here these indigenous people are living in harmony with life itself. They don't need anything. If anything, they need help with their water, with food, you know.
With things that we're destroying from the outside.
Exactly. Everything that globalization, if you will, not globalization, globalization, that I stole that from Bruce Lipton. you know, especially the West, you know, you look at how colonialism has literally taken over the world. We've got standing armies in how many countries? For what? Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is we're taking their resources. We're loaning them all kinds of crazy money that they can never pay back. And when they default on it, we're taking their natural resources. How does that work?
Yeah. Yay, capitalism.
Right? You know, and so, and that's because of the corporate influence. You know, once they, Woodrow Wilson, I think, that made the corporate entity a person.
I think that's correct.
You know, once that became part of our collective awareness, that was the beginning of this precipice that we're leading up to. You know, if we don't change, we're going to destroy everything. The Earth's going to survive, but humanity's not.
That's right. And the Earth doesn't care whether or not we live. We have to take care of ourselves, and we have to take care of Earth in order to do that.
Absolutely. You know, the Earth is a living, conscious being, and, you know, the indigenous knew this. We have to be part of that system and not destroy it, you know. This regenerative agriculture now that is coming into our purview. It used to be sustainable. Well, sustainable is not going to do it. We can't sustain this path that we're on and survive. We sustain this path and we're on our way to destruction. We have to work in concert with our environment and regenerate our environment and give back to it and not just keep taking from it and using our environment and all of its commodities for our use and not putting back, you know. Mm-hmm. You take one part of the environment away, you throw it out of balance, you know, and that's what happened. We're so out of balance. Look at the male energy on this planet is so prevalent and so destructive
that I think it's interesting that it feels like the energy has been changed. It's been, there are two distinct male energies right now. And it's, I don't know, toxic isn't the right word for all of them, but there is that toxic masculinity out there that is prevalent in media.
Yes. I don't mean to paint it all as bad. You're absolutely correct.
No. It's just what we're seeing portrayed.
Yes, you know, and especially through our media, you know, look at the links that they go to create fear, to sell conflict, you know. Everything is on media is intended to activate your fight or flight systems in your body and distract you from being present with what is, you know.
Absolutely.
Everybody gets so wrapped up in, like, take COVID, for example. Everybody's so wrapped up in COVID, they're not paying attention to everything else that's going on, you know.
No, and you know how hard it is to find any other news out there right now?
It's almost impossible, you know. I have a couple of, like, sources that I occasionally go to, but mostly I just stay within my yoga community. And I don't know, I like the guys over at Collective Revolution. They seem to do a really decent job at putting out news that's not biased and it's conscious, you know. But it's so hard to find truth and transparency because everybody has ulterior motives, you know. Even if they believe they're in service, they're still operating through what they think is right, and putting that forward instead of being present with it is and going to these places and saying, what is it that you need? Not, here's what we think you need. Here's the aid that we want to give you. What is it that you need? What will make your life better? What will change your life expression so that you're not suffering and those around you are not suffering?
Well, I know that one of the subjects you're going to be talking about in your book is your skin cancer. I want to bring that back to how you said the non-bias in the media, how everything in the media tends to portray one thing one way. And even if you're trying to do it for the right reasons, sometimes it feels like an agenda. Right now, we don't have a whole lot of studies out there about cannabis because they basically blocked that for the last 100 years. It was so hard to get a study approved that it just didn't happen. So now we're left with a lot of anecdotal evidence, but you actually have a case that was diagnosed and all of the treatment you followed, you kept track of. And this is part of what you're going to be putting out in your book as just this individual case study. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, you know, last year I went to my primary care provider up in Seattle. And because I had some growths on my back, and my friend was putting lotion on my back for me, and she said, you need to have these checked out. They don't look right. And so we went up to my doctor, and she biopsied them. And first it came back as squamous cell cancer. So I was referred to a dermatologist here in Olympia. And I went to see her, and she did some more tests, and they found, let's see, there's squamous cell and basal cell carcinoma is what the two were. And I had more spots on my back, and there was one spot right in the center of my back that they wanted to take a patch, like almost 3x3 off of my back, you know, all the way down to the muscle.
Wow.
And like, I'm like, no, I don't think so. I grow cannabis. You know, I'm a registered patient in Washington State. You know, I'm in the database, all that crap.
Isn't that always fun?
Oh, yeah. But it's necessary.
Absolutely.
You know?
I'd still rather have the right medicine than not.
Absolutely. You know, and it's been so crucial in my healing. You know, if you look back, you know, that's the thing. I've documented my progression from being a sick person with fibromyalgia and all these other issues to the wellness that I experience now. The cannabis, we did the full extra cannabis oil. Some people know it as the Rick Simpson oil, if you will.
Yeah, FICO or RSO.
Yes. You know, and I used critical mass from Mr. Nice Seed Bank was the strain that I used. It's a high THC strain. I've grown it for years. It's been instrumental in my healing. I use it for my FICO, along with a couple of CBD strains, Skunk Haze and Sweet and Sour Widow, that have like just totally turned my life around and helped me come back to balance again. You know, and we treated my back, and I have pictures of it. I have the medical checkups from my doctors, and everything. There was three patches on my back and that had cancer, and one on my shoulder, and they're all gone. Wow. I actually have another spot on my back that looks like it's starting to develop some more. When I was a kid, I was sunburnt a lot. I was always in the sun. You know, I like outside. So we're getting ready to probably treat another spot on my back. But it's all documented through my primary care provider and my dermatologist here in Olympia. It's amazing. I have that personal experience, you know, and I've seen it work when I was doing the dispensaries and had all those people that I used to work with. I've seen it cure cancer. I've seen IBS patients be relieved from their symptoms, from Crohn's, chronic pain, you name it. There's just so many applications to it. And to get this information out so that it's available and to take the stigma away from, you know, oh, it's going to get you high. Well, not all cannabis gets you high, you know, and if you're using it in the correct way and you follow the right dosing procedures, you might only experience those effects for a little while. Now, you take your pills from the doctor, from your allopath, you take your Oxycontin, you're going to get high.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to get high. Why is that different than cannabis?
Because a doctor said it was all right.
Okay, but a doctor is just practicing medicine too.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a doctor of osteopathy instead of an MD, and that's the first doctor that I've actually been able to sit down with, have an actual conversation with, and actually understood by the time I was done that he's like, oh yeah, I don't normally sign medical marijuana cards for people because I think they're all just trying to get it. But if you need it, just let me know.
Nice.
It's about being able to actually care about the patients in that kind of an aspect.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and to meet that patient where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's important in all our relationships, is to meet everybody where they're at. You know. Getting it, you know, you're talking about the studies and the research on cannabis, you know,
yeah.
And it is super limited in our country. However, look at Israel. You have Dr. Meshulam, mm-hmm. that's been, you know, he's the one that discovered Delta 9. And now there's CBG as the new kid on the block, you know.
Well, with that one being the precursor cannabinoid that all of the other cannabinoids come from, I kind of think of it like the stem cell cannabinoid. So it makes me wonder how many other properties there are going to be with the medical treatments and such as well.
Agreed. I think that there's all kinds of avenues that are going to open up there. You know, in fact, I just saw a CBG strain yesterday that I think I'm going to order myself.
Nice.
And play with it. Because, you know, like, I truly believe that Washington's going to, at some point, they're going to come back into balance and let us have our medical back. And when they do, I intend to be on the forefront of it. You know, it just because they closed down, you know, I still have kept doing my research, kept developing my medicines, and I've put together a unique way of making medicine for these different things. You know, I do a combination of the cannabis with essential oils and herbs, and make this holistic approach to treatment, if you will. And then you have to bring nutrition in. Nutrition is medicine. Nutrition is life, you know. If you're not feeding your body temple correctly, then it doesn't matter what medicine you put in it, you're still going to be sick, you know.
I can definitely feel the difference when I'm taking care of my eating habits than when I, oh, let's say, forget about it for the holidays for a month or so.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I first started really noticing the fibromyalgia and all that, I was going to a naturopath in Portland, and she says, "Well, you need to ditch dairy. You know, that's part of your inflammation, and I'm allergic to it anyways. You know, it makes me super stinky." I ditched dairy, you know, and it really, really made a difference in my life, you know. Mm-hmm. I've never liked milk, but I used to like cheese. I really enjoyed cheese.
My girlfriend takes lactose because she can't quite give it up all the way, but she still has to eat so much less than she used to.
Oh, God, introduce her to diet cheese.
Oh, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Dairy free, they have like some wonderful stuff. You know, that was my first step of like dialing in my nutritional experience, you know. And all of a sudden I just like me and my friend Sean, we were going through the store getting groceries, and we're going through the meat section, and I'm like, I don't want to eat meat anymore, you know?
Wow.
And it was just like, I had this feeling like I just didn't want to consume that protein, that energy anymore. And so I went vegetarian, you know. I still ate cheese occasionally, you know, and milk occasionally and other dairy products. But as a rule, I didn't do it. And I stopped eating meat. And that just like was another huge change in my energy level, you know? And then I moved to Seattle on this cannabis journey, and we had our shop up there, and I met this vegan. He actually ran the shop next door to me. And he introduced me into that whole lifestyle. And so like I embraced that. And it had even improved more, but being a vegan doesn't mean you're healthy, because I was still eating like hell, you know. Oreos are vegan.
You can still eat junk food. You just can't eat certain things.
Yes. And then I found all these wonderful doctors that are doing whole food, plant-based nutrition. You know, they're healing diabetes type 2, cardiac, you know, heart disease. It's amazing what they're doing with whole food, plant-based. And I've switched to that, you know, and I'm like 60% raw and 40% cooked now. And my energy levels, my clarity of my consciousness, even my breathing, everything is so much better, you know. It's made just an amazing change in my life and in my energy. So incorporating the nutrition, the exercise, you know, meditation, pranayama, everything, bringing this together and awakening your inner teacher, your inner guides, if you will, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, awakening that and learning to embody that presence and to listen to it and listen to those signals and integrate that into your life.
So do you think, I was just going to ask if this cannabis healing journey that you took, is that what led you to the community outreach, the community garden that you're doing now, things like that?
It is, you know, I was really blessed that, you know, the families that adopted me, was an amazing, you know, middle-class white family, very loving, you know, they're the most amazing people in the world. And I put them through literally hell through most of my life. But my father was the, manager of the local grain growers, the co-op. And I spent a lot of time down there. And so I got a lot of experience, you know, with that kind of community, if you will. And then experiencing the collective garden in the different iterations of that, and being of service and helping people and coming together to meet each other's needs, you know, in all these ways, led me to where I am now, to where I want to build this community supported agriculture, this community garden. I want to share these gifts that I've been given with other people so that they can enrich their lives and empower their lives. You know, we need to come together at a community level and integrate as a community, you know, and stop depending on Big Brother and government to come save us, because they're not going to do it. All they're going to do is keep taking from us.
Absolutely. I've always thought that the community level is the only level that you can really care about and take care of efficiently, and that by doing that on those community-based levels, that then spreads out to the other, the bigger, the state, the country kind of levels, because everybody is starting to be taken care of and listened to.
Absolutely and essentially, you know, that's where all grassroots movements start, is at the community, you know, and I feel especially now with everybody in fear from the COVID and being manipulated by mass media. It's so important now for those of us that are on this path of awakening to come forward and show these alternative ways of living that bring health and wellness to you without the side effects you get from society's solutions, you know? They give you all these medications to make you feel better. You know, look at, like, for depression, you know, they give you these medications that are just poison. And when you're depressed, that's your innate self. That's God inside you telling you, you're not happy. You know why you're not happy? Because you're not loving yourself. And until you love yourself, you can't even love anybody else, you know?
Absolutely. And the side effects, like you mentioned, Jordan Peterson is a person that I listen to his podcast. I read a lot of his material, kind of gets a bad rap, very smart psychologist. And he talks about, you know, some of these medications that they put people on for depression, 2 weeks on the medication can wipe out their libido for the rest of their life. Something that will change their personalities, who they are, how they react to the world, things like that, with 2 weeks on a single medication.
Yeah. You know, exactly. And you listen to TV, you listen to these pharma commercials, and they're all side effects, and they're all worse than the fucking thing that they're treating.
It's just crazy. And I know that side effects can be rare, but just because you have 1% chance, that's 1 in 100. That's not, you know, an insignificant number.
No, and did you realize that the third killer of people in the United States is medical? I just found that out. I'm reading a book, Spontaneous Evolution by Bruce Lipton, and it's got a whole bunch of that amazing stuff in it. And the third killer in the United States is medical.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, and people have been taught to believe doctor knows best, that, you know, here's a magic pill that's going to take away all your pains and woes and everything, instead of living with it and accepting it as part of your life experience and using that experience to grow. You know, the pain, the depression, the anxiety, that's just your inner guide telling you to change your life. You know, what you're experiencing is because you're not paying attention to yourself, to your environment. You are living in your head, you know. You're not present.
Absolutely.
You know, embodied presence is so important, because without actually seeing what is and not creating what we think is because of our thoughts, beliefs, experiences, you know, in the past, but actually seeing what is and being present with it and accepting it and not trying to change it, you know, because it's uncomfortable or because we don't like it. Accept it and then determine from a balanced place of love and compassion what's the best way to react to it. How can I be of service to this, you know?
Well, we normally have a moment of vulnerability segment on this show, but that's pretty much been this entire interview with you. So before we get to the end here, I just wanted to, I think you may have just answered the question, actually. I wanted to see if you had a personal philosophy on life, and I'm getting the feeling be present might be a big part of that.
It is, you know, my personal philosophy on life is to ease and eliminate the suffering of all beings, to be consciously present in a compassionate and loving way in each interaction with the perception of others, you know, to always show up from a loving state in service, knowing that each being, each person that I help, not only am I bringing wellness and joy, healing to their life, but I'm bringing it to myself as well, you know?
Absolutely. It's a big part of the do unto others.
Absolutely. I believe and I live the truth that we are all one being. We are all one consciousness. You know, the Yoga Sutras talk about this, you know, one consciousness of its own free will manifested into everything that is, you know, the people that you like, the people that you don't like, the stones, the trees, the animals, everything is that one consciousness.
Atman, you know? Brahman.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and, you know, that has to be experienced.
Absolutely.
Until it's experienced, it's just a concept. That's why religion is where it is, because religion is a concept that has this ending that is some story that man has created to explain where we were with the information that we have, you know?
So one last question before we go. I wanted to ask you about the peak experiences. I know we've touched on them a little bit here. What was the peak experience that really changed things for you?
I'm going to have to say, God, there's several. You know,
everyone builds on top of itself, it seems, almost.
They do. You know, and it's really hard to pick out the one that's most life-defining, I guess, if you will.
How about a really early one that sets you on your way?
I think one of the very early ones, and this one is going to go back right to when I decided to come out and be Crystal. I had this belief that I was this female trapped in this male body, this male biological body. And with my conscious expression of life at that point, it was so chaotic because everybody I was around wouldn't accept that. All my friends, I felt my family, and my family really still doesn't to this day. My brother does. My brother's amazing. But I still have family members that still don't accept me or even talk to me. Mm-hmm. But like, I believed that I was this body and that I had to change this body to be light. And it just created this conscious energy, this trauma, this inner conflict within me that was like, I got to have this surgery to be right, to be me, you know? And through that trauma, all of a sudden, I just had this awakening experience that I'm not my body. I felt the spirit within me, and I felt the expansion. I felt the actual dissolution of the body, if you will, the perception of the body. And I was still present. I was still there. I was still conscious. And I knew right then that I am that presence. I am that awareness. I am, the body is in my awareness. It is not who I am. You know?
That is very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And to build on that, you know, during that time, I was still a member of a coven. It was funny because when I started in that coven, I was a priest. Then I became a priestess in the coven. And I had another peak experience shortly after that. And it was like after I was changed from a priest to a priestess in the coven, we were doing this meditation outside in the circle. And like, again, my body dissolved. And I experienced the web of life. I could see the interconnectedness. I could see the grids. I could see everything.
Indra's net.
Oh my, you know, and I've had several experiences since then, you know, that have just built on that. I had one last year where I experienced a conscious expression of life on a different planet, you know?
Wow.
You know, what's the word that, there's a word for it, and I can't think of it. Michael Pollan uses it so well. Immutable, I think it is, you know, because these experiences, they're so defining that you really can't even put words to them because there's no words to them. It's an experience that enlarges your perception of self.
Ineffable. You know? Like,
ineffable, that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah. Like you can't, when you try to put words to it, you actually limit the experience and put limitations on something that is limitless.
Exactly. You know, and you know, yoga will give you the same experiences. You know, the yoga sutras talk about it. You know, you look at the Buddhist masters, you know, especially in Tibet, that can turn themselves into rainbow bodies, that have left handprints in solid stone. You know, where do you think Jesus found himself? You know, I'm just saying. and it takes, I truly believe it takes these peak experiences for us to awaken, you know, and
agree.
In my personal experience and opinion, that's the purpose of yoga, is to have that self-realization and to have those experiences and develop that conscious expression of life that you truly are.
I definitely need to be more diligent in my meditation and yoga practices. I do know in the Western world, we always are looking for the shortcut. And I still believe that if everybody had, and I know it's not for everybody, so you got to take a lot of things into consideration, and I'm not promoting any of this, but if you end up finding yourself, you know, ready for it, a little mushroom trip or even some acid, something along those lines that gets you to that realm for a brief glimpse really can change your entire outlook.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I love, have you read Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind?
I've only looked into it. I have not read it yet.
It's definitely a great read, you know, and like he goes into what I feel is really important in psychedelic therapy is set and setting. You need to have somebody that is a experienced guide that once you go through that transcending of ego, if you will, that can help you understand those experiences and to put them in proper perspective for your growth, you know? Just going out in the woods and taking some mushrooms and communing with God is great.
Yes.
It's
not the same.
No, it's not, you know? That's the difference between recreational use and actually conscious use of these substances that were given to us for our evolution and for our growth, you know?
Plant medicine is a lost art.
Absolutely, you know, it's been part of my life and our creation here of the Healing Center, it's going to be a major part of it, you know? They don't have the side effects that you get from these chemicals that they put in your body, you know? And the problem is most people are so polluted with toxins that when it comes to natural medicine, you know, they're expecting this major change of energy, you know, like they get from taking a pill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a gradual, consistent thing that you have to do.
It's realigning, you know, all of your energy. It takes a time. It's a process.
Agreed.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing. Do you have any last words or anything you wanted to share before we get going?
I just would like to encourage everybody to take part in your community, to be a loving presence, to meet other people where they are, and to not judge them for their mistakes and their faults, but to accept them as they are and love them. And for those that are suffering, how can we be of service to them? How can we be of service to humanity? How can we heal this story of separation and come into a holistic, unified way of life expression for the whole planet?
I couldn't think of a better way to end it. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for being an inspiration. I hope to have you back again someday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I'd love to.
Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I had a great time speaking with Crystal, and I hope to have her back on again to discuss the health benefits of mushrooms, among other topics. I want to thank her and also give a special thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason I'm doing this. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever else you're listening, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help spread the word. You can also connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.